first for everything, I think. All right. Maybe is that the sign to stand still, maybe, to not move around? We're going to spend our time tonight in John chapter 11. If you want to turn your Bibles there, that's where we're going to be tonight, John chapter 11. And we are going to intend to study the well-known story and the well-known miracle of Jesus of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. One of those miracles maybe that stands out in the minds of many people because, for many reasons probably, but maybe just because of its, you know, particular, the details that come along with it, the many things that sort of stick in people's mind, the fact that it is raising someone from the dead, of course, the fact that it is this great and powerful and otherworldly act by Jesus, that it is this amazing miracle, and the fact that maybe the details are, maybe you could call them jarring or something, you know, the story of not just Jesus raising somebody from the dead, but the fact that he'd been in the grave for 4 days, and then he doesn't just raise him from the dead, but Lazarus walks out in the grave clothes, and, you know, those sort of things that are memorable, things that stick in people's minds. But tonight we're not going to really study the actual, you know, miracle itself. We're not going to spend time on the actual happenings that happen right there at the tomb where Jesus actually says, "Lazarus, come forth." We're not going to spend very much time there other than maybe just to read it quickly. But we're going to do something a little different. We're going to read, to me, which is sort of the what makes the miracle meaningful and what makes the miracle important and what makes it sort of more memorable to me is all the stuff that happens leading up to the miracle and maybe even the things that happen after Jesus' miracle and all the conversations that he has and all the things that he teaches his disciples and all the things that he says to Martha and says to Mary and the things that go on that lead up to and that bring us to the point of the miracle make this miracle one that to me is very memorable. This morning, if you were here this morning, we had a really good lesson on from Romans chapter 12. We talked about this idea of what it means to use the things that have been given to us. And one of the things at the beginning of this, you know, we remember when we started talking about all of this. Well, let's say this. In some ways, the things that happen beforehand. I'm going to use the word and summarize this whole story by talking about the idea of compassion that you see on the screen in front of you. The idea of what it means to have compassion on someone. If you're going to summarize, in my mind, if you're going to summarize this whole story in one word, compassion is the one that describes the whole thing to me. Not only the compassion on Lazarus by bringing him back from the dead, but compassion that Jesus has on the people that lead up to it and to Mary and to Martha and everything else that goes on here. But in some ways, when we're going to talk about compassion through this story, we might categorize compassion as one of those things that we talked about this morning in the lesson, as one of those things that sort of is a maybe it's one of those measures of grace, right? It's the thing that people are able to do. It's a skill, maybe, that people have been given or a talent that people have given. One of those, as Paul calls in Romans 12, one of the differing gifts. Because in a lot of ways, the ability to show compassion to someone is something that it's an ability. It's the ability to have and say the right thing, or the ability to do the right sort of thing to bring comfort to someone who's in need. That's something that is learned. It's something that is a talent in many ways. But in another way, we might categorize compassion, at least from this story, in the way that we talked at the very beginning of the lesson this morning, where Bill talked about this idea that Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, begins with a way of thinking. It begins with learning to not think so highly of myself, than more highly than I ought to think. Compassion is kind of that way. Compassion can be not only just a skill or a talent that we practice in order to help somebody, but it sort of can be a way of thinking, a way of living outside of self, so that my constant state of being is always aware of the needs of other people. And so we can think about it in either way. To me, the ability, or sort of this first idea, and the way that Jesus lives, and the way that Jesus thinks, and the way that Jesus constantly interacts with people, is sort of just a way of thinking. It's a way of living, to not raise himself up or not think of himself too low, but just be one of those people who is constantly living outside of self. And everything he does revolves around what can be done for other people, which really is what compassion is. The ability or the willingness to look past my own desires and needs and see and be aware of the needs of other people. And so as we've spent time talking about ministry and all of these opportunities, I thought it would be good to take some time and sort of look at the root sometimes of what it means to minister. And that is the ability to look outside of self and see needs outside of self. And so either way, I want to look at some things in John chapter 11 that Jesus says and that Jesus does, and to see maybe what we might learn from him, and in turn maybe learn about ourselves in the way that we should think and the attitude that we carry ourselves with and the way that we relate to other people. So let's take just a couple minutes. We're not going to read the entire chapter. I'm just going to pull bits and pieces out as we go, probably because we're all relatively familiar with the story of Jesus raising Lazarus, although we will read several chunks of it as we go. Let's just start in verse 1, and we'll read just a couple of verses. We're told that a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Let's just notice, I've just got four or five things to notice quickly as we move along. Let's just think first on this, what we find in verse 3. Really, really simply, that Jesus is aware of and ready to meet needs. Compassion represents the willingness, or to be, or maybe we could just say, represents awareness of and the willingness to step out of self and meet the needs that come. He is persistently aware and ready to meet needs. If you notice, from the very beginning, we learn that Lazarus has fallen ill, and we learn that it is something that is very serious, and his sisters are deeply concerned about the situation. And so they send the message to Jesus, who was not there at the time, to report to Jesus of the illness, of what's going on. But if you notice, there's sort of a touching thing to me, that the sisters don't say, "Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Please come and help him. We need you to be here. If you will come, he can be helped." Instead, they just say, "Jesus, Lazarus, you love him. He's ill." And that's it. There's no request. There's no pleading with Jesus to do what needs to be done. They just say, "Your friend is sick, Jesus," with the expectation that Jesus knows what needs to be done, and he's going to do it because he recognizes that there is a need that's going on. Their faith, of course, needs to be commended, because they don't ask anything else other than just to say, "Jesus, he's sick," with the implied expectation that Jesus is going to come and to do something about it. And so they were confident that Jesus is going to help. But there's a lot to think about, maybe lots of things we could think about in here. That the fact that Jesus is acutely aware not only of the needs in the situation here, but acutely aware of the needs of all of his people. That he recognizes and knows, you know, in sort of the way that we would say in his own words, I'm with you always, right? I'm always in your presence. I always know what needs to be done. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, right? Because you are with me, right? You're there. I understand. The Lord is with me. We sing the song, "My Jesus knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. He knows what I need." This is the picture that we get of Jesus through the Gospels, that he is cognizant and that he is aware of and understands without really even to be told what the needs are, because he's aware of and he's ready to meet needs. And that's the kind of situation that we find. And this is the situation we find him in here. So we might also just simply take comfort in the fact that this is who he is. But we might also take inspiration from the fact that this is who he is, modeling the kind of people we ought to be. That we ought to be those kind of people who are aware of and ready to meet needs of people that are around us. To be able to live outside of myself, as we've said, to not be so concerned with my own life and be so concerned with my own self that I can be acutely aware of the people that are around me, so that when there are needs who need to be met, when there is compassion that needs to be shown, I don't have to be tapped on the shoulder and say, do that. I can be a person who's recognizing that there are needs that need to be met because I'm already aware of them. To know just when someone needs a hug or a card or a visit or a meal or just to say hello. To recognize people and to know people well enough, and particularly when we're talking about our group here, to know and understand our family members well enough to know when there is a need that needs to be met, because I am aware of them. And maybe in verse 5 is the place where we get the clearest picture of why this is the case for Jesus, right? If you go down to verse 5, really simply, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Why is Jesus acutely aware of their needs? Because he loves them, and he's involved in their lives, and he knows who they are, and they are comfortable with one another. How is it that we're able to be the kind of compassionate people that we should be, aware of each other's lives and aware and ready to meet one another's needs? It develops through the fact that we're together, that we love one another, and that we are involved in one another's lives, and not just people that we sit next to in pews once a week, but that we are a family and that we recognize those things. And so compassion, if we're going to model it in the way of Jesus, especially from this passage, compassion is something that's aware of and meets and ready to meet needs. Let's go on. Let's keep reading. Just one verse further, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Jesus talks about, really simply, that the sickness, right, the sickness of Lazarus has happened in the mind of Jesus to fulfill the will of God so that he can have the opportunity to be glorified and so that the Son of God can be glorified. But if we're going to make the application for what we're talking about, we need to recognize, first and foremost, that the actions that Jesus takes in the situation, he makes very clear the purpose of it is for God to be glorified. Even above just the needs of the other people. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to meet the needs of Mary and Martha. I'm going to show compassion. But in doing that, this is happening. And we're going to allow my actions to glorify God above all other things. An old mentor of mine used to say, when we would work with people and we would work among people who were in need, he would always remind us, "Fellas, remember who you're working for." In other words, it was there to remind us that when we are serving people, when we are doing these kinds of things, it's not just to draw attention to self, and it's not to build up self or impress people. It wasn't we were reminded of this. This is the reason we are showing compassion to people is not specifically to convert souls. And hear what I mean by that. We're not doing this so that in turn someone might turn to Jesus. We're doing this because compassion needs to be shown. If God wants to work through our work and bear fruit through our planting and our watering, that would be His business, and we can take advantage of those opportunities. But showing compassion is not a way to guilt people into coming to Jesus. But we are people who are serving and planting and watering and showing compassion simply for the sake of the fact that people need compassion, and in a beautiful way are honoring Lord. I remember when we were in college, there was a particular group of people that for various reasons did not like and were not very kind and did some very unkind things to me and the particular Christian organization that I was a part of. And I remember we were in our local coffee shop, and my soon-to-be, well, she wasn't my wife at the time, she was just a friend, and we were in the coffee shop, and I remember going to those three fellows who had really treated me not very nicely. And I was going over the top to be as nice to those men as I could possibly be. I wanted to make them feel as uncomfortable as they could possibly feel. And I remember it, and this was my, and this is confession time. I remember doing this and just smiling away with pride because they were squirming because they had treated us so. And I remember sitting down and I having the conversation with my wife, and she would, my friend at the time, she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, they haven't been good to us, and so I'm just trying to be as nice as I can, because the Bible says if you do that, you can heap coals of fire on somebody's head." And I was just beaming with pride to say, I'm going to be as nice as I can, and I'm just going to show all this goodness to these people so that they'll squirm. And she just looked at me and she said, "That's not right at all. You completely missed the point." And of course, I argued with her at the time, but I come to realize pretty soon after that at least that one time she was right. Because he helped her realize that I was completely missing the point. I was showing compassion and niceness to people to make myself feel better. Or showing really niceness and compassion so that just to rub it in their face. Or to say they'll get it for the way they've treated us. Or, you know, I'm going to make you feel bad because of, you know, God is going to help you realize you're wrong. And you'll be surprised we never had much interaction after that, right? It's not about me or anyone else, and it's not my job to bear that kind of fruit. It's my job to be compassionate and show kindness and grace to people. And if the Lord wishes to bear fruit with that from my planting and my watering, that's His business. And we'll pray for that, and we'll pray for Him to have opportunities, for us to have opportunities to do that. But Jesus very simply shows compassion on these people and says very, very plainly, we're going to do this because it glorifies God. And because we love them, and we already said, because He loves Mary and Martha. But through these actions, we can know that that God can be glorified. Let's keep going. We'll go down to verses 7 and 8. To go down further, we're told that verse 7, after this, Jesus said to His disciples, let's go to Judea again. And the disciples said to Him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. Are you going there again?" In other words, Jesus said, we're going to go to Bethany where Mary and Martha and Lazarus live. It's time to go there again. And the disciples say, "There? You're going back there again? You mean the place where they sought your life and the place where the people have become hostile to you and the things that are going to, it's not going to end well, Jesus. You know this. It's not going to go well. We're going back to Judea?" And we realize really quickly that sometimes compassion means we have to deny self. That sometimes showing grace and compassion means that I need to make a little bit of a sacrifice. And Jesus is willing to say, blessing this family with my presence is more important than the harm that may come to me as a result of it. And He says, we're going to do it. The will of God needs to be done. The very nature of meeting others' needs depends on this attitude. It depends on this idea where we mentioned at the beginning that we ought not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. It's the same sort of idea that Paul gives in Philippians 2 that maybe you talked about last week here on Sunday morning, where Paul says, don't let anything be done through selfish ambition or through conceit, but esteem others better than yourself. Let everyone esteem others better than himself. And beyond that, to not look out for only your interests, but to look out for the interests of others. Compassion demands at its very root that I be willing to make a sacrifice myself because the needs of others are more important than my needs. And Jesus says very plainly, this is the way it's going to be. Sometimes when we step out and decide to show some compassion, by its very nature, we have to think outside of ourselves and be willing to make some sacrifice on behalf of others. And it's exactly what happens here, where the disciples begin to argue, are we really going back there? And Jesus is persistent to say, yes, we're going to go. Sometimes a sacrifice is in order. And it's more impressive when you think of what Jesus knows He's going to get into, because He's not just going into a group of people that He's going to have to deal with by way of inconvenience, right? He's not going back to Judea to say, yeah, we got to deal with those, you know, pesky Jews again that are having trouble with me. That's not what we're dealing with, right? We're dealing with a group of people who are seeking His life. It's reminiscent of when earlier in the book of Luke, in chapter 9, when we're told in verse 51, I believe, when Jesus is working with the disciples, we're told when the time had come, Jesus steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem. And the reason it was there and it stated that way, because he knew his time had come. It was time for him to go back to Judea. It was time for him to go to Jerusalem. He knew exactly what he was getting into. He understood the consequences that were going to come. He knew the people he was going to have to deal with. And yet he said, it's time to go. It's time for us to go to Jerusalem. And this is sort of the same idea where Jesus says, there is a need. We love Mary and Martha. They need us to be there. I know it's not going to go well. I know what lies ahead for us. I know what we have to deal with. But right now, compassion and blessing of this family is more important than that. And sometimes compassion in our minds demands that we have to deny self a little bit and make some sort of a sacrifice. Let's keep going. Let's go to verse 17. I think it's important to notice here, and this is, we're going to read both of the accounts here, both of how Jesus handles the situation with Martha, and then again how he handles the situation with Mary. And I think we can make a point, the fact that compassion knows people, and that compassion understands people, and that compassion knows how to show itself in various ways. Compassion knows what it means. Let's read and compare them, and let's think together with them. Let's start verse 17. When Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days, and Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and she met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he will live again. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into this world. So Martha comes first. Martha comes out to meet him from the house as they find out Jesus is coming. And Martha shows up on the road and she meets him. And we're told very simply that she's mourning and she's upset at what had happened. And then she simply says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And so there's an expression of mourning and maybe an expression of regret that Jesus had not come sooner. But really, plainly, an expression of true and genuine faith to say, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. But I know that you can do anything. I know that you can do whatever you ask God will happen. And so she's trying to come to grips with this, and you can see her in my mind anyway. I see her sort of reasoning through this to say, I wish you were here and I wanted you to be here and if you had been here, but I know and I have faith that you can do anything. And so she's working through it and reasoning through it in her mind. And Jesus responds by giving her encouragement, by having a conversation and sort of logically working through it with her to sit down and try to comfort her in ways that maybe we wouldn't think that comfort needs to be given. And so he's encouragement about her brother rising and giving her this faith-strengthening message about the resurrection and about believing in him and never dying. And then he reinforces it by finishing by saying, Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And he gives her the opportunity to make this great confession that her faith is in the Lord and she believes in him as the Son of God and that he can do whatever he wishes. And he gives comfort and shows compassion in a way that she needs to have a dialogue and to work through things and to logically come to grips with what has happened and to build up her faith and what goes on. So compassion is shown that way. Let's keep going. Let's look at the situation with Mary, see if it's any different. Go to verse 31. And the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb and going to weep there. And then Mary went, and when Mary came to Jesus, she saw him, and she fell down at his feet And she said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit, and he was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. And the Jews said, see how he loved him. That's all of the conversation that we have that Jesus gave to Mary. Do you notice the difference between the two? Would you classify both as compassionate? Of course you would, right? Because he meets Martha and he knows exactly what Martha needs. Martha needs to talk about it. And Martha needs to work through this. And Martha needs to express her faith. And Martha needs to know how she should handle this and how she should approach it. And Jesus helps her work through it and then strengthens her faith. And when he gets to Mary, Mary says the same thing, only without the expression of faith. Mary says the same thing, only Mary says it on the ground as she falls at his feet in mourning. And Jesus says what? Nothing. But instead, he says, well, he does. He asks the question, where is he? Where have you laid him? And they said, come with us. And Jesus does nothing but weep with her and shed some tears and say nothing at all. Both of them are expressions of compassion. And compassion knows people and well enough. And compassion understands that it can be shown in different ways. Compassion recognizes needs, back to the very first where we started. Compassion is aware of and knows the best way to help people. Now this is, of course, probably closer to where we started at the beginning when we said this is an ability of people. This is one of those talents that maybe God gives to people, that some people have the ability to say exactly the right thing or know exactly the right thing to do. But Jesus gives a great example that compassion is shown in different ways. I remember when I was really young my ministry, when we moved to West Virginia to work with the congregation there, one of our dear sisters had her mother and her father to come and live with her because they were not well, and her father was dying of cancer, and he had to be in the hospital really often and still had all of his mental faculties, but it was just terribly suffering physically, and he was in and out of the hospital a lot. And I remember going, and Walter was his name, and he was just a dear, humble, and sweet spirit, and we just loved him dearly, and he was so kind and gracious. And I remember going in as a young man, a 25-year-old kid, going in and trying to be with them and trying to have a conversation with Walter and trying to talk with him, and he's laying in his bed, and I just trying to work through it. And I remember realizing that it was really uncomfortable and it wasn't going well. And his daughter, who was a dear friend of ours and is, was gracious enough to say, you don't have to say anything. He's just lonely and he'd just love to have somebody there. And I learned really quickly that from those dear people, that from that point on, we just went, and I went and spent time with Walter, and we watched baseball. That's all we did. We rarely spoke, because Walter didn't speak much anyway for his personality, and we just watched baseball. And the family was so, so gracious and so grateful and thankful that just somebody was there to never say a word, but just to be there. And I'll never forget sitting next to Walter and watching baseball and trying to come to grips in my own mind how helpful it was for me to just watch baseball with him. But to him it was great, because that's the kind of compassion that they needed, was just somebody to be there. So compassion can be shown in those kind of ways, two different ways Jesus gives us. Let's look at one more. Go down to verse 45. This is a really simple one. Verse 45, we're told really simply, then many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen the things that Jesus did, and they believed in him. They'd seen the things that Jesus had done. What happened when Jesus reached out and met the need of these people, this family? Really simple. A lot of people believed. Now, I'm sure that a lot of people believed because he just raised a guy from the dead, and that's understandable, right? But I'm convinced, and it's true, I think, that many people believed, and if you watch the ministry of Jesus, many people believed because of his willingness to be a humble person who cares about people and is willing to show compassion to the people who need it. We're told really simply, many people believed because of what Jesus did for them. if you notice, it's not, he doesn't talk about Martha and Mary's faith, and it doesn't talk about Lazarus's faith after this. It's not the people whom Jesus helped. It's the people who saw Jesus helping, who believed. It's the people who were just the innocent bystanders, just the people who were observing what was going on. Action, compassion, meeting needs. Maybe we can just boil it down right to where we started. Love of people has the ability to change lives like nothing else in this world. Not only the people to whom we are expressing love, but to the people who watch us express love to other people. Isn't that exactly what Jesus said in just a couple pages over from here? John chapter 13, when he said, "Everyone will know, all men will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for them." Do you remember? "Everyone will know that you are my disciples by the love that you show them." It's not what he says. "Everyone will know you're my disciples by the love that you have for each other." When you express love for one another, that's evident to people outside that there's something special about that. Compassion and love and expression of grace and mercy and all of these things that we can show to each other has the ability to change lives that aren't even involved in that process because they can witness it. And that's what happens here with Jesus. So there are a lot of things that we could take from the story. I just pulled just a few that to me are meaningful for what it meaningful and challenging to help me think about my attitude of living and my way of thinking and how I relate to other people and the conversations that I have with other people and how I view the people who are outside of my own world, and challenging to help me live outside self so that I can be willing and be more aware of and ready to meet people's needs. If we can just say it at the very end, the reason why compassion is important is because it's exactly what's been shown to us by people who as people who are mired in our own sinfulness and who get caught up in our own frustrations and who are burdened with the things that we bring upon ourselves as well as the things that are heaped on us from outside, as people who need help. It's exactly what we have been shown, and it's the kind of compassion to which God says, "It's not about what I wish, but I am going to do these things because you are in need of me, and I have what you need, and I'm going to show that to you." And if for no other reason we learn to be compassionate people, it's this one, that is simply what God has shown to us. Hopefully it's giving you something to think about. Maybe you can read the story again. Challenge yourself through the way Jesus, and I love to read the stories of Jesus in that way, because in these kind of ways, because you can boil down the details of how he talks with people. So much to learn. How he handles situations, how he deals with relationships, and it helps us to be better people in the way that we treat each other. Compassion is something we can give because compassion is something that we've been given. If you are here tonight and have never given much thought to the compassion that's been shown to you by the Father, we would love to be able to sit with you and help you see that, to help you read these stories of a God who loves and cares for you and has reached out and taken a step to express that love to you through his Son. If we can help you with that, we'd love to. If you're here tonight and you wish to receive some compassion from us, we're a group of people who would love to do that. Let's stand and sing. If you have a need, would you come to the front?